Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. I'm speaking to you from Boston, my favorite place in the world as part of Ireland Gateway to Europe. We have had an incredible week meeting some brilliant businesses, individuals, and seeing some history along the way too. Before the break, we were talking to Whoop about the Whoop 5.0. It was fantastic to be in the city on the day of that launch, to get to go to their HQ. And as I referenced in the chat with John Sullivan from Whoop, they have an Irish base now as well, or a significant Irish workforce. And that relationship and that dynamic between Irish companies and American companies is so important, and that's a big part of why we are here. So I was delighted to chat with Enterprise Ireland, who works to facilitate moves just like that.
Hi Jess, I'm Aidan McKenna. I am the Regional Director for Enterprise Ireland based in New York. I head up the team for Enterprise Ireland across Canada, US and South America.
I've been lucky enough to meet quite a few of your colleagues over the last number of years as I've travelled across the United States. For those who may not be familiar, can you just give me a very top line overview of what it is that you guys do?
Yeah, so I guess Enterprise Ireland's elevator pitch for helping clients overseas is really we're here to give strategic advice, number one. So we help with advice around your go-to-market strategy. Number two, what we do is we help make connections for you. Mm-hmm. So we help speed up that market entry process, get you in front of buyers, partners, people that can really accelerate your growth in the market. And number three is really working with you to deliver high quality events such as trade delegations, working with our colleagues in the Department of Foreign Affairs, such as the ambassador and the consulates, because a lot of the buyers love to get involved in some of those, and you can really invite really high level people to those events. And so we provide strategic advice, we provide connections that can accelerate your business development, and we help organize some key events in the market to accelerate your growth as well.
And over the last number of years, as I mentioned, I've hooked up with colleagues of yours from, you know, Austin, here in Boston before, and the overarching feeling that I got was it's a friendly face on the ground, and that connections is a huge thing, because North America is pretty big, and it can be overwhelming if you are looking to get into this market to even know where to begin. Do you have a one-size-fits-all option that you roll out to every business, or is the expertise that you guys have built up over the years and the skill of that, you know, being able to do a made-to-measure depending on the individual requirements?
Yeah, I think, you know, we probably have a playbook of helping companies come into the market, but it's very much tailored to their sector, their area of expertise, the differentiation they're bringing into the market. Their own capability to actually come into the market and follow through as well is really important. So what we do, just this week in Boston, our team was working on a masterclass for healthcare and medtech companies. So we provide information on how the US system is different from Europe, from Ireland. We give all the education up front. We take them on a journey then in terms of, okay, making sure that they know where they are in terms of getting approved, the regulatory framework, the FDA. And we guide them, and we actually funnel them into the right healthcare systems that are most appropriate to whatever solution. And we have partnered with a lot of healthcare systems, such as Hackensack in New Jersey. We have hospital groups here in Boston, Mass Brigham. We have Cleveland Clinic. We have a lot of hospital groups that have, at any particular time, looking for a particular solution. So we'll do the matchmaking.
Yeah.
And what that does is it speeds up your process to get into the market. It means then that you're spending less time in expensive hotels, less flights, and that when you come into the market, you're actually hitting the ground running. And that's what we can offer companies. And we'll do that for each sector. So we have sector experts in healthcare, medtech, financial services, engineering, all the sectors that our clients are trying to break into. We have somebody that is a domain expert in that sector, but more importantly, have the connections for them to actually accelerate their opportunities.
How do businesses get your attention, or what way does that work in terms of, I have a business, I want to get into this market, and I need your help?
So we work very closely with our colleagues in Enterprise Ireland in Dublin. We have client advisors who will pick up the phone to us and say, actually, this is a company that's ready, that now the US is or Canada is a priority market for them. So our colleagues and our back at home are very much the first point of contact, really, for us to help companies come into the market. Of course, some come in directly and we work with them, but I think it's a good starting point. The other thing I'd probably say is that you really need, you can do a lot from home. Mm-hmm. You can plan a lot, and there's a lot of supports available through Enterprise Ireland in terms of market discovery, do market research, get support to come out to the market. Because a product that works in Ireland or UK or Europe may need tweak coming into North America. Mm-hmm. And there could be R&D expenditure, there could be a lot of market research, speaking to customers. And what we find is we can help with that discovery. Yeah. And we have a lot of supports at home that can help our clients do that as well.
Mm. Yeah, one of the themes, and as I mentioned at the top of the show, we're here as part of the Ireland Gateway to Europe gang, and a lot of the conversations that I've had over the last week or so has really hammered home to me the importance of boots on the ground. To temperature check, to acclimatise, to see if silly things like your marketing, which could be great crack at home, will translate here. Really getting the temperature for where the region you're looking to enter is important. And Deirdre Giblin actually made the point to me earlier in the week when we were in Toronto that, you know, Canada's a big place too, and they don't like being lumped in as North America. How much of a translation is needed for businesses when they first enter this? You know, is it a difficult thing for a business to get their head around those the nuances?
Yeah, I think we've seen cases where people have maybe visited the market 5 or 6 times a year. Mm. And then after a year or two of knocking on doors and slow progress, they decide, the founder or one of the co-founders decides to move over. And time again, we'll hear the thing, I wish I'd done this 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because what happens in the space, when you're embedded in the environment, things move a lot faster. And, you know, the connections that you make, both social and business, help open doors for you. But more importantly, to your point, you're attuned to the culture, you're attuned to the little differences in terms of how to position yourself correctly. The other thing I would say as well that people don't maybe think about is it gives confidence to your potential business partner, your customer. You've made the step to come into the market. You're closer to them. They feel more confident to place the order, mm-hmm. that they're here on the ground to support them. So they're seeing commitment to them,
yeah.
by Irish companies coming in and investing. And the stats always show that the companies that come in, set up, boots on the ground, accelerate a lot faster, mm-hmm. and they learn the culture, they'll network, they'll pick the right local team, they'll impart their culture as well, mm-hmm. and you know the best kind of solution to break into any market is having a co-founder come in for a year or two to that market, set up the local team, understand the local nuances and the customers, and really build a team from there.
Mm. And how much does the goings on in the world of politics impact a company's confidence to try and take on this market? Because I won't list off all the things, but the big news events of the last 10 years, say, they have been monumental, mm-hmm. and we have felt them at home. And if you're a business looking to scale, it's definitely, I'm sure, something that's, you know, either at the back of your mind or the front of your mind. But can you sort of pull up a graph and see these moments impacting the businesses coming in and ready for the challenge?
Yeah, I think one of the things we have learned from Brexit, preparing, helping companies prepare from Brexit, from the energy crisis as a result of the Ukraine war and Russia's invasion of Ukraine, is that, you know, businesses have become very resilient. They've been almost been accustomed to crisis.
Something every other year.
Yeah. But what that means is there's smarter financial planning, there's robust balance sheets, there's a recognition that, you know, in crisis there's opportunities, and investing in R&D is really, really important. But also to take advantage of those, you have to be nimble and move fast. So for instance, we're in the US, there's a shift in government policy around how they view renewable energy and particularly offshore wind. We have a lot of capability in that space. But, you know, and decarbonisation is maybe not as high a priority to this administration. But the multinationals that operate here and see value in that are still willing to place orders on companies that can help reduce energy, can help them decarbonise. But what you might have to do differently here is pitch it differently. You might have to change the language in terms of what the USP you're bringing.
Mm.
And that just allows you to actually achieve the same outcomes, but presented in a different way.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that being in the market allows you to do is actually to tune into those subtleties. Because if you're selling in the UK, you're selling in Europe, it's a different pitch. But if you're selling in the US, you have to tweak that pitch to whatever the customer is going to listen and tune into.
I was talking to Kieran Cuddihy on The Hard Shoulder on Thursday, and we were talking. I went down to the Whoop HQ here in Boston. I got the brand new device, and it's so exciting. But one thing that I've noticed in the last little while is that companies like Whoop, for example, and I'm just giving that as an example, but the companies who have a base in Ireland
yeah.
and in the US, they are noticing shifts. Mm. And for tech companies in particular, which are very often value driven and they set their company culture and all the rest, they're having to make changes. But you're so right. That doesn't mean that they can't come into this market. It's just how you package things. It's how you publicly portray your priorities, but yeah. your core values can still remain the same.
Absolutely. And look, I think people have to recognize, you know, having been in a sales role before, an international sales role, you know, you almost have to, if you were selling in France, for instance, you almost have to appear French, right? You almost have to know the language. You'll have to be accustomed or sell through a French agent to really get into that market. And some people, again, going back to that point, what's going to get you across the line and getting a deal here in the US, I think, is having a presence here.
Yeah.
It's giving confidence to that customer. It shows that you're committed to the market, that as they scale, you can scale with them. And we have great companies that have done that successfully. So companies such as Hanley Energy have set up operations in Ashburn, Virginia, to supply critical power infrastructure into the data center industry. That's Data Center Alley here in North America. And by being there, they're able to service the US market really successfully and are growing at scale. Their Irish operations and manufacturing are servicing the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And I think that's the model. And I think if you look at the Irish multinationals that have done this successfully, we have seen those Irish multinationals invest in markets like North America, invest in markets like South America to service those markets. Mm. And the Irish operations absolutely can service the European operation or market opportunity. And I think it just requires a kind of a mind shift from companies that are scaling.
Yeah.
That if we really want to win a new region or a new market, we really have to invest in that market as well. And Enterprise Ireland, we encourage companies to go to Select USA. Select USA is in Washington, D.C. next week. And that is the largest FDI show for America. And one of the things that we've used a lot of this year is that Irish companies are actually the sixth largest investor in the US. So a little tiny island off off the coast of Europe,
yeah.
and we're the sixth largest investor into the US. And that is a powerful message. And Irish companies, and the top 10 Irish companies that are here, employ about 115,000 American citizens. So we often hear of the US investment into the Irish economy,
yeah.
but we're actually really playing a role at trying to get the message out that Irish companies have a huge impact in creating jobs in the US.
Mm.
So when we can, Enterprise Ireland, talk about supporting Irish companies investing, yes, we want to see growth at home, but we also know that we want to see that those companies that are investing here are actually getting the recognition for it as well.
Mm. We have heard a lot of headlines over the last little while about the uncertainty, and I told the story earlier on in the show about my nerves coming into America. So this was my first time in since January,
yeah.
And I was a bit apprehensive about that, but the guy who scanned my passport was the nicest man, and he was laughing. He's like, I've never seen a media visa before, and he was thrilled because he'd only just started, and I got the usual warm welcome into Boston. So I had let a narrative that I'd heard resonate in my brain and give me that fear. How important is it to distinguish a narrative from the reality of a situation, particularly against a very uncertain backdrop?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because our number one piece of advice to our companies, our Irish companies right now, is get on a plane and come here.
Mm.
Meet your customers, sit down with them, because you don't know what challenges they're currently facing. And I think, you know, the worst thing you can do is make assumptions that you don't have an opportunity, that you're going to be priced out of winning business. But what you might find is part of their business that they're struggling with that you could help with. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll have huge value in, you know, if there is difficult conversations to be had around pricing or tariffs, have them and actually be upfront with them. The culture here is very much cut to the chase.
Yeah.
And I think people appreciate that. We should lean in as opposed to kind of, you know, put our head in the sands and hope for the best. Mm-hmm. I think those client companies that are working with their customers, their distributors on navigating the current tariffs are actually going to get a lot more respect from their current customers. They're going to be opened up to other opportunities. So again, I do think it's really important for Irish business leaders to come into the market, spend time with their customers, listen to what's happening to the market. And I do think, as in all kind of periods of turbulence, there's always opportunities in it. And I think you won't see those opportunities unless you're close to your customers.
Yeah. And that's, I think, there are some great examples from all of the other challenges that we've had in recent years, whether that is, you know, Brexit or the pandemic or whatever, where there was a challenge, but then an opportunity came as a result of it. Yeah. And I think you're right. It's probably the people who are smart and willing to have the conversation and say, look, I'm worried about this. Are you worried about this? What are you worried about? How can we make it work? Yeah. That's probably a healthier solution rather than just having a pit of anxiety in your tummy.
Absolutely. And you got to pay respect as well to who you're speaking to across the table, because I do think a lot of people, depending on your political views, probably best to assume that whoever's sitting across the table support the current administration.
Yeah.
I think if you take that stance in the first interest, what are they trying to do? They're trying to create more American jobs. Mm. They're trying to get more investment into the US economy. And you know what? What you should do is say, how can we help you win business successfully globally? And if we're for a company that helps to automate in factories or helps to provide solutions to reduce costs in your business, I think those are opportunities Irish businesses can win. And I think you're not going to win those unless you're here, unless you're speaking to your customers, unless you're going to trade shows and you're showing that you're committed to the market. Mm. But I do think sometimes it's better to tune out the political noise. Business takes a view that administrations come and go.
Yeah.
Business, this economy is still a very resilient economy.
Mm.
It's shown that over the last number of years when, you know, there was a lot of doubt about whether it could be sustained, whether there was a lot of, insecurity of investment, but the job numbers were growing really well. And I think probably the other point I'd like to make is that there's some key trends people should be tuned into. Key trends here in North America and in the US in particular is that there's a housing shortage. That, you know, despite there's huge growth in data center and AI, and that's going to create more demand for energy and energy solutions. And the other thing that's going to be created as well is that, you know, there's actually skilled labor shortages. Even with AI, there's huge skilled labor shortages in multiple sectors. And again, companies with solutions that can help address any of those issues and allow companies to scale and be successful will be successful themselves.
So if a business is listening to this now, or even if a budding entrepreneur is listening to this now, and they have the idea on the post-it note and they're not sure if now is the right time, what would your message be?
Oh, absolutely. Come here. This is, the US is still the home of innovation. You know, like the next industrial revolution is around AI and how that permeates into every particular vertical, whether it's healthcare, whether it's in business services or whatever the industry or automation and factories. You know, I think this is still the home of innovation. And if you're a technology or services company that is well funded and wants to be a leader in your particular field, you're going to have to come here, find the right partners, find the right co-investors. Yes, we have investors in Ireland, but what we have seen is some of the successful Irish companies recently, they might have their engineering hubs in Ireland, they might get their initial investment in Ireland, and they quickly then, that growth capital has been, in a lot of cases, companies like Tynes, who would have started very well in Ireland, have raised a lot of scale and capital here, and built out a big sales team here, because they're now, they were at RSA last week in San Francisco, and they're really putting a big push on in terms of breaking into other areas of how they can get their solution into CIOs and CTOs offices. So it's a great company, it's a good model of, you can be an Irish company, You can be Irish headquartered, but not be afraid to take skill and capital from other locations, build out big teams to service those markets as well. So great opportunity. I'm still very, maybe it's the Americanism rubbing off on me, Jess. I'm very positive, even despite we have a lot of challenges. Mm-hmm. But I do think Irish businesses are very resilient, very entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. And if anything in the last 10 years or 20 years have taught us is we can respond well to our crisis.
It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thank you, Jess.
Yeah, that was Aidan McKenna, Regional Director Americas at Enterprise Ireland. The work that Enterprise Ireland does is so vitally important. I know that over the many years I have travelled to America for work, one of the first things I do is email the local EI office. They are so well connected, very friendly, and looking to foster relationships. And I think at the moment when there is a lot of uncertainty and, you know, a bit of nervousness in the air, it is great to know that there are people you can reach out to. And as you heard Aidan say there, there's optimism in amongst all of the uncertainty. So cling on to that. We are here with Ireland Gateway to Europe, which is a fantastic initiative. I got to speak with Aidan McGuinness, who is the co-founder of the entire operation, and asked him what he made of the 2025 trip.
Yeah, it's been great. We're seeing 6 events, over 800 guests at those events, lots of outside of events, as you know, as well. So really productive. Probably the difference to previous years, as you know, was Toronto. Mm-hmm. Don't know how you found it, but it was certainly interesting to get the pulse of a nation in the middle of a little bit of a crisis.
The timing could not have been better. We landed on Sunday, spent a bit of time on Sunday evening walking around getting a feel for the city. What I was struck by was the similarities between it and, say, Chicago, like a very business, financial sector, like that whole area of the town is fascinating. But the one thing that struck me, and I would never have known if I didn't put the boots on the ground, was the tone and the anger of some of the Canadians towards their nearest neighbour. And there were conversations happening all around me that kind of helped me inform, move away from notions and narratives to reality and facts and how people are feeling on the ground. Did you get that sense as well?
100%. I think, honestly, it looked like Chicago to me. And I know when you did the panel, you made that point. And you're right. You know, you probably would have guessed that was the vibe, but you could feel it, and you need to feel it as soon as you're there. When we were going into pubs and restaurants and golf or whatever the first few days before we started, even without an explicit conversation, yeah, that was implicit. And you know, if you take the constructive, positive side of that, that it has galvanized them, you know, people of all politics seem to have got behind Mark Carney,
yeah,
in his stuff, and rightly, by everything we can see. And then, as you know from the sessions you were at, people were talking about how we can do business together. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't softly, it was very practical.
Yeah. Just a few minutes ago on the show, we heard from Aidan McKenna of Enterprise Ireland, and he gave a really good overview of the reality of doing business with North America, not just America, but North America, including Canada. And he said that, yes, there's apprehension, but there's also opportunities. And it's about finding the right partners to do business with and to break into new markets. How important are partnerships, just from a gateway point of view alone?
Well, like the deals that have been done between our deals sounds strong. The partnerships that have been formed between our own group and then intra-group, as we were saying, it's sort of multilateral right now. So 100% partnerships. I mean, I was very privileged to do Leadership for Growth course. And, you know, we've been promoting Leadership for Growth here, Ireland's CEO course. We had some of the CEOs from it. We hope to have a lot more in the future. We also partner with Innovation Exchange, and I mean, their thing, all their stuff is about innovation and collaboration. So we've had a lot of conversations today in Boston College. We're going to talk about innovation, and it's how we collaborate. But I'm telling you, like 3 or 4 of those companies, they've got Irish and US investors.
Yeah.
I know 3 or 4 Irish companies, you've interviewed some of them that have actually moved over to the US.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about this thing, Ireland's number 6 investor. It sounds very clinical, but that's creating jobs over here.
Yeah.
It's pretty balanced. So those partnerships are like getting more complex, and that's great.
Yeah,
you know,
no, it's what it's all about. And Matt Moan, you're with me now as well, and I know you guys, I'm going home in a few hours. I'm very sad. It always breaks my heart to leave Boston, but you guys are going on to Washington, and you're going there for a number of reasons, but also the next stage of a very important partnership as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The World Trade Organization has given a commitment to setting up in Dublin and to have a permanent presence there. They're actually looking to I suppose, tie that network together where they have World Trade Organizations, both from New York, Chicago, Portugal, Lisbon, Marseille. So Dublin's going to be included in that, which is another, as Edie mentioned earlier, it was bilateral. It's now come multilateral for business connections. And as one thing, we've always had businesses contact sports. So when you're out, as you say, you're on the ground, you meet people, you don't know how it's evolving in various ways. But yeah, we've some very positive results. So we're delighted, and a big shout out to Maureen Pearce of the Drew Corporation for hosting us in the Ronald Reagan building with the Washington Institute of Trade as well. Edie's moderating on that panel, and Aidan McKenna, who's been absolutely fantastic in Enterprise Ireland, is going to be there. So one of the big takes from this week for me was the relationship that we have now both with the IDA, Deirdre Moore, in big time in Toronto. She actually, funny enough, was one of the first persons to promote us in San Francisco for 13 years ago or whatever. So delighted with that, that she's back, and delighted to have host us in Toronto. But Enterprise Ireland, bilateral. So Team Ireland, yeah, it's really come a long way.
Yeah, no, it is. It's very exciting. And after the break, we're going to hear more about our time in Toronto with the fantastic Deirdre Giblin. On next week's show, we're going to meet some of the businesses that are HQ'd in Ireland but have made the move to America. So there is plenty more to come from Ireland Gateway to Europe 2025. But for the moment, lads, thank you so much for hosting us, and we'll see you again next year.
Thanks a lot, Jess. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jess.